Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. My name is Aiman Azlan and at age 23, I got married. Now, some people might say, ooh, super early, ooh, kahwin awal. But really, I got started when I was 18. So, you could argue, gatalnya budak ni. But let me explain. So, at age 18, as an 18-year-old young man in college, in Selangor, I was culture shocked by a lot of these social things. And you might argue like, why are you culture shocked in Malaysia? Why not overseas? I don't know why, but that's what I experienced. I experienced seeing, you know, certain social interactions that I never seen. I experienced seeing a woman smoking cigarette for the first time. I experienced seeing, I mean, I don't want to detail it, but I have experienced culture shock in Malaysia in college at age 18. But alhamdulillah, given that I have been brought up with a healthy enough compass that I know how to find my way, I managed to secure a small group of friends whom I call my brothers, and they helped me, you know, stay out of the streets lah, to be fair. And within this circle, we had this teacher, Dr. Adnan. And one day he gathered us to have this seminar on marriage in Islam. And up to this point, mind you, I always thought that if you want to get married, the knowledge of getting married was something that you get from novels, movies, dramas, and all this other media stuff. Because there wasn't any formal education about how to get married. You know, right now we have a lot of like classes here and there, but back then when I was, you know, 18, there wasn't a lot of that happening going around, at least not for an 18-year-old. So I entered with the understanding that, oh, maybe this is just like any other, you know, Islamic classes on how to get married, about marriage, you know, about divorce, about talaq, about khuluq, fasakh, the thing that I learned when I was in school. I thought this is going to be a regurgitating of the same points, but I was surprised really by the insight that one seminar brought into the 18-year-old me, to a point where it started to shift the way I saw relationships and the way I see women in general. You know, I did not have the want to have a girlfriend anymore. I did not have this want to have just this casual romantic interactions, you know? Even though, you know, the nafs wants what it wants, but the brain and the heart already has this set that all I want at this point forward is marriage. Whenever I think about serious romantic relationship, I'm immediately thinking about marriage. And mind you, I was 18 and, you know, in Selangor at the time. So from that point forward, every time I interacted with a woman, a classmate, you know, we have student clubs activities and we have volunteer activities. I would interact with male and female on campus. I always have this radar already activated that if I'm looking for like a woman in my life, I'm looking for like a mother figure, a wife figure, somebody that I can serve as a husband, serve as a father to her children, and somebody that I can live my life ahead for many, 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 many years to come. Again, mind you, I was 18. And the reason why I want to repeat I was 18 was because it was idealistic. It was. I was so idealistic and I was so hyped up with all this energy about wanting to get married, that I want to get married like there and then. But alhamdulillah, through, you know, the wisdom of God and through how life happens, I didn't end up getting married at age 18, alhamdulillah, even though I wanted to. What ends up happening was I was searching, but at the same time, I was building myself. And these two things happening in tandem, searching and building, searching and building, searching and building. And I had my teacher, Dr. Adnan, who I considered my mentor, another father figure in my life, other than my own father, whom I love, became the person whom I always go to if I want advice, or, you know, in college, my father wasn't there. I could call him, but he wasn't there. So having that on campus is really handy. And after college, I went to Canada, another place far, far away from home, another culture shock. And then there, it was the same mindset. You know, I wanted a serious relationship, but not in any casual girlfriend, boyfriend kind of way. I always think about marriage. By the way, you can imagine, lah, I was quite annoying at the time. You know, skit going. But my friends were receptive enough to a point where they understood where I was coming from, which is why I am thankful that they became my social circle. And they ended up, you know, getting married, all of them getting married anyway. And some of them got married before me. So, In any case, I went to Canada, and there I, you know, focused on my studies, doing student activities, club work, and things like that, while at the back of my mind still having this radar. That radar is on. And once that radar cannot be turned off, okay? That's something that I think everybody can relate to. If you are me, a guy, 18, 19, 20-year-old, and you want a relationship, once that radar is turned on, you can't turn it off, right? So parents, if you're listening, if you have a child who is like in their late teens, early 20s, and they're talking about marriage and talking about having a relationship, you can't turn it off, really, because the more you try to say no, the more they're going to think about it, you know? So at the back of my mind, I still have that, but I focus on my studies. I'm still responsible enough so that I don't jeopardize all the other stuff. I still do my work, my homework, my assignments. I manage my time well, manage my money well. And then during this time, I met a few people, a few women whom I considered to be viable candidate lah. But the way I arrange this process is not by, you know, hey, let's have a date. Hey, let's go out for a drink. I wasn't interested in all that. I was interested in like serious, you know, straight to the point discussion about marriage, which is, you know, unconventional. If you can imagine lah, at the time, kan, meeting with a woman and say that, you know, I'm interested, but I only want marriage, and I want to discuss straight away in that context. So I had one before I met my wife whom we got discussing into the matter, almost went all the way to marriage, but it didn't work out. But it is from that process that I learned to be straightforward with everything. It was a hard lesson to learn, because along the way some hearts were broken and I didn't want that. But you know, I was young, and what I learned was that communication has to be tip-top and clear. I don't want to go into details about like who she is. I mean, she's happily married now, alhamdulillah. But it was one of those things that I think to myself, that was a lesson well learned, but the way it was learned was unfortunate lah. So we had the discussion. We went through the ta'aruf phase, and we went through to a point where we got engaged. But then it didn't work out because I was too fast in determining that she's the one. Even though there are certain things that she hasn't met in terms of what I was looking for. But I thought to myself, tak apalah. Pergi je. Because in my mind, I was thinking, I want to get married as quickly as possible. That was the mistake. So that ended. And then I learned my lesson. And I became calmer from that point forward. I wasn't rushed. I wasn't like, jumpa seorang terus kata, jom kahwin! I was calmer. I was more methodical in my ways. And I hold on to this idea of having clear communication. And along the way, I attended classes. I upgraded my knowledge. I honed my skills, important skills like time management, money management, and so on. Not perfect, but I did it. I honed it well enough to a point where I could get by and support myself and also solve real-world problems that I had at the time. With this, equipped with these new skills and knowledge, the next person that I met was my wife. So she and I, we've known each other since 14 years old, so secondary school lah. But after secondary school, we went our separate ways, as you do. You know, she went to London for her education. I went to Canada for my education. And during this time, I was searching and searching and searching. I was scanning, like, who do I know who could be a viable candidate? And if you know from my online class, this is what I mean when I say audit your social circle. I didn't go into any kind of dating sites, even though they were available, by the way. I didn't go into like any online groups or whatnot. I always focus on my circle. Who do I know? Who have I met? You know, because when you know how to navigate around this social life of yours, you will meet people. You will network with people and you will meet a lot of people. And I did meet a lot of people. And from there, I've known a lot of viable candidates. So I audited my social circle and I found her. And I remembered like, huh, you know, I remembered I liked her. So I decided to email her. That's it. Emailed you. At the time, Instagram wasn't that available. I think it wasn't launched yet. I think. I'm not sure. I don't remember. But there wasn't in this idea of sliding into people's DMs or whatnot. There wasn't this, even WhatsApp, Telegram, all these apps weren't hot at the time. At the time, we had, you know, Friendster was still around, MySpace, Facebook, okay, but not right now. You still have the feature of poking people on Facebook at the time. And then you had, you know, Skype for video calls. Now we have Zoom, Google Meet and all. Back then we had Skype. So I decided, let me email her. So I wrote her an email, basically, you know, reintroduce myself into her life and started asking, you know, are you available? Because I'm interested and I'm serious in considering, you know, this, considering to start the discussion of potentially getting married with you. And I phrase it in a way that it's clear because I don't want her to think that I guarantee I can kawin dengan you. No, I'm initiating this discussion. That's it. No guarantee yet until akad nikah. Right? Clear communication. Don't want any false hope. So she thought about it. She took about like a week or something. And then she answered me back by saying, yeah, sure. Let's try it. And the way we did it was, now, I learned in one of my marriage classes that I did, that I took, was this 100 premarital questions, which, by the way, you can still Google to this day. Google 100 premarital questions. And from there, you have this 100 questions, which I still think are good questions to ask before marriage. And they dive into all these different aspects of getting married that a typical single person will not think about. Certainly, I didn't think about some of those things. Like, for example, talking about finances in a way that I didn't think about. I was thinking, you know, you have this certain amount of money. Good. You're ready lah. But it goes deeper into financial habits, into financial management, talking about certain behaviors, talking about family relations, talking about even the language that you use with your family. I'm like, what? I have not thought about that at all. So all these 100 questions are very, very useful in opening my mind to the kind of things that I should be thinking about. That's the biggest thing. Opening my mind to the kind of things that I should be thinking about when thinking about getting ready for marriage. It's not just about the money. It's also about the attitude, the behavior, the principles that you hold, the fundamentals that should be your key thing in deciding whatever you want to do with your life, right? Talking about what's your goal, short term, long term, like talking about what are your vision about a family you want to build, like how many kids would you like? No, these are the things that at that time I needed, because nobody were like there to teach me these things, which is why right now I distilled all my experiences into this simplified, codified way of getting married in these online classes that I do, and also all the free stuff that I give away, just to let people understand the things that I didn't understood, or rather, I understood it in the hard way, by trying to make it simple for people. Basically, the things that I share with people now are the things that I wished somebody was there to share with me. Now, I didn't blame any of the people around me, my father, my mentor, kapaka, I didn't blame any of them because they did help me a lot. But right now, I just want to push forward and reach more and to help more people. That's all I'm doing. So we had our ta'aruf discussion, not just the two of us. We had a third person present. And because both of us were in university overseas, she's in London, I'm in Toronto, we didn't have our like parents to be the third person. So we decided to get our best friend to be the third person. And this best friend is somebody who know us really, really well. And I have my best friend right there beside me when we had this Skype call. And it's not like I have a, you know, earphone on. No, he can listen to whatever discussion that I was having. And my wife at the time also had her best friend beside her during the ta'aruf session. So if you can imagine me like talking to you right now, like in this online form, and beside me was my best friend. And he could listen to anything that we talk about because the purpose of him being there is so that we don't go overboard, you know, because when two people, men and women, are together, shaitan is the third person, right? So he is there to make sure that whatever that I'm discussing is appropriate, that I don't go overboard. Now, I'm still like myself, I'm an normal, usual, but I don't go overboard. That's it. That's why he's there. And similarly for her best friend, she's there for that reason as well. So we had this very cordial, warm, but professional discussion about what are the things to prepare for, to ask certain concerns about marriage before we decide to go forward or stop. So this is where we kind of figure things out. So we use the 100 premarital questions and we use it as a guide. We didn't use it as like an interview question. Question number one. Blah, 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 blah. No, it was a guide. So it was there for us to know what to talk about. That's it. And we didn't have to go through all 100. Just pick a few that are super fundamental to each of us and ask those questions during the ta'aruf session. And yeah, my friends, my friend and her friend can listen to the discussion. And you might be thinking, alamak, malunya. This is where I talk about being serious. You know, you want this? Be serious about it. Yeah, it's awkward. I know. But, you know, just suck it up, basically. Because this is required in my mind for me to show to her and also to preserve my sense of urgency so that I don't go overboard. I am always conscious of that line, you know, that boundary. You always have to be within the boundaries. And it's something that we try to do, you know, with a level of taqwa, basically. Because it wasn't the ideal situation of ta'aruf, like parents weren't there and, you know, we didn't have like a third person who was married available to become the third person. Because ideally, you want somebody like that. You want somebody who is married, who is wise, who knows the assignment given, and who can actually help you, mentor you in the ta'aruf session, even maybe add on certain questions that you didn't even think about. But, you know, my best friend, he's single at the time. He couldn't do that. But he could fulfill the role of making sure the interaction was cordial because we had the same understanding. We had the same principles. So that helps a lot. And we had about 2 or 3 sessions and we schedule it beforehand. We know when to meet up, what time. We use Skype and we had our best friend available as well. So we schedule it. Why? Because it's important. That's why. You schedule it because it's important. We don't go random. We don't go like texting, hey, you up? No. We schedule when we want to discuss things because we want to make sure that it is done with purpose. Not by random, not with feelings. Feelings are involved, definitely, but they are managed in a way such that, again, I'm going to repeat the same phrase, we don't go overboard. Boundaries. Always think about boundaries. So after a few of these sessions, we decided, yep, I have asked all the fundamental questions I want to ask. At the same time, we took mini breaks in between for us to discuss with certain elders, to discuss with certain wise people. So I went to an imam in a nearby mosque where I was living at the time. The imam's name, should I tell his name? Ah, tak apalah. He's a public figure, so some of you might know him, but he was an imam in a masjid near where I live at the time, and he was available for me to meet him, and I get a lot of advice from him about how to, you know, manage this. And you need that some in the process of ta'aruf, somebody to always be there to guide you. So we took our time, asked the questions we want to ask, we make sure that all the checklists are ticked, and this is where we end up with the final decision-making process, the istikhara. So we took some time to do our istikhara. She did hers, I did mine. We both did our own istikhara. You don't outsource your istikhara. And after some time, I said yes, she said yes. And from that point forward, we were in third year university. We're basically engaged. And now start thinking about the marriage preparation. And by the way, I think I missed this point. Throughout the whole ta'aruf thing, parents know. Parents are in the know, right? Because we don't want them to be much of a surprise. So parents are in the know. Like my parents know that I am in the process of searching for a candidate. And her parents know as well. And I think it was when I went back home in my third year of summer or something like that, I went home and decided to go meet her father face to face to talk about this for the first time. And I remembered, you know, feeling super nervous, obviously. And then it was nighttime, just before Isha. I decided to go pray at a mosque near her house. And when I went out, I told my parents, both of them, like, I want to go to her house, meet her father to discuss about this marriage. Potentially, you know, marrying her daughter, you know, understanding his expectations and things like that, listening to what possible demands he may have, whatnot. And I ask, would you like to come? And they said, nah, you go ahead. My parents, in some ways traditional, in many ways not. And thank God for that lah. But, you know, traditionally you would go with your parents, like, but I didn't know why that night. I think my question was clear enough. Like I wanted to basically merisik lah, like merisik / meminang, whatever you call it, like this particular woman. I think it was clear. And but then they said, it's okay, you go first. You go by yourself first. But then they eventually go juga lah. Adalah rombongan dihantar and everything. It was done, but after the first meeting I had. So the first meeting I had with her father was done like mano y mano. Is that what you call it? Man to man lah. So I went there after Isha. Don't ask me if my Isha prayer was khushu or not. And drove there by myself alone after Isha. Arrived at her house and basically ring the bell. For context, she alerted her parents about this. So they are in the know. They know I'm coming and they know why I'm coming. And as I walk through the front door, his father's there to greet me, mother's there to greet me, and she, my wife, was there also. So I entered the house, I sat down, and her father was directly opposite me. And in the middle is this like very small coffee table where her mother put some food for us to eat. You know, guests coming to their house, kan? And her mother and my wife sat somewhere over there, not too far, not too close. Close enough, they hear everything we're discussing, but far away enough that I don't see her like at my periphery. But I know she's there lah. Boleh nampak. So I ask her, the father, Pakcik, you know why I'm here, right? Because obviously he knew, because I didn't know what to say as the beginning phrase of this discussion. So I just asked, Pakcik tahu kan kenapa saya datang? You know why I'm here, right? And he, being the genius that he is, he said, no. For more context, her father was a principal in a secondary school. So he knew how to psychologically trick the students. And, you know, at that time, I did feel like I was a student in a principal office. So he said, no. So I had to phrase it out like clearly that I am here with the intention of potentially marrying your daughter. So I put it like clearly macam tu. And then he chuckled a bit and started to open the discussion lah. And we discussed about planning, about, yeah, obviously about income, about how am I going to support his daughter, about the wedding preparation. And he did give me a figure lah. He did give me a figure like how much money like potentially I should gather before potentially getting married. I'm not going to tell you what the figure is, but there's a figure lah that kind of like took me aback, like, oh, alamak, banyaknya duit. But I was honest from the very beginning, because that was the thing that I was clear to myself, that whatever happens, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to pretend, because I know this is me trying to marry his daughter, his child, whom he raised, you know, through thick and thin, blood, sweat, and tears, you know. So I'm not going to take this lightly. So obviously, it will be very, very, very disrespectful of me if I were to pretend to be somebody else. So I present myself honestly. I told him, this is the money I have. This is the income that I had. Basically, no income lah. I had only a scholarship sahaja. Which, by the way, the scholarship is like okay lah for two people. But more okay for just a person, because it's a scholarship for a student, kan? So I just told him this, my savings, and he told me this figure, and I said, oh, inside I was like, alamak, banyaknya duit. But outside I was like, all right, I'll try. Yep, I'll try. Because I want to honor his request. Because I know, coming from his point of view as the father, he's not doing this because he want to like gotcha me or things like that. Because he's concerned about his daughter, which is a reasonable thing. Not just reasonable, honorable thing. So he gave me this figure. I said, okay. And then we kind of like have a little bit more chit chat. We ended the discussion. Summer's over. I went back to my university. She went back to her university. Now we're in like fourth year. And I had this figure in my head. Okay, this amount of money. So what I did was, you know, I was a student. I was still studying. I couldn't get like a part-time job or anything like that because of like visa concern. And so what I did was I sold whatever valuable things I have. I sold them. I sold them all. And at that time, I was actively doing vlogging on the internet and things like that. I sold my camera. I did. I sold my camera. I sold basic whatever that's valuable. I sold them all that I can sell lah. And then I collected however much money that I can, to a point where I couldn't sell anything else and I don't know where to get more money at the time, because I'm full-time as a student, couldn't get a part-time job because of visa thing. And I decided to just tell him the truth. Since I was in Canada at the time, I couldn't meet him face-to-face. I decided to Skype call him because I still want to see his face. Because I don't know. Maybe this is like a male ego or whatnot, but I think this is like a well-placed male ego where I want this to be done face-to-face. I want to tell him face-to-face. I don't want to text him. I don't want to call him. I want to like see his face and tell him. But gee, I did my best. I did. But I couldn't collect the amount of money you ask. Tak cukup. Right? Terus terang, tak cukup. And I was prepared, you know, kalau dia nak cakap, kalau macam tu tak boleh kahwin lah dengan anak saya. Eh? If that's the case, you can remarry my daughter. I was prepared. You know, that could happen. That could happen. But it didn't. For some reason, he still ended up allowing me to marry his daughter. No, don't ask me why. Don't ask me, like, is this like a trick or whatnot? This is just something that I don't know. He saw something maybe in me. Maybe he thought to himself that this is a man who could take care of his daughter, because I was presenting myself as I am. No pretension, no nothing. Showing him that I'm doing the work, I'm putting the effort, I'm really serious in marrying his daughter. And even though I couldn't get the money that he asked for, he said, yes, sure, you can marry my daughter. And we did. We graduated same year, 2013. She graduated first a few months before me. So she went back home first, did some of the, you know, marriage preparation things at home. And while we studying last final year pun, we discussed a lot of the marriage preparation thing via Skype again, online. And I graduated a few months after her, November 2013. And in December 2013, we got married. Yay! And looking back, you know, it's been like 10 years now. Looking back, what can I share to you who is listening to this, who's struggling to get married, who's struggling to, you know, get the money, prepare yourself to, you know, talk to the parents ke, ataupun trying to find the right partner, whatnot. What can I say? What can I say? The only thing I can say is there wasn't anything that I did that was out of the ordinary. I did all the effort that I could, which in my belief was the right things to do. I didn't do everything correctly, but to the best of my ability, I tried to do as many things as correctly as possible. I put my whole soul into it. I put 120% into it. And the rest is from Allah. I don't know what to say. The rest is from Allah. And 10 years in, we're happily married still. Two kids, two beautiful, gorgeous kids. And yeah. That's about it. And to give you more context, right? At the time that I married my wife, I didn't have a lot. Just to give more context, because some people are so caught up in the material side of things. I just want to let you know that not everybody think that way. And my wife certainly is one of them. And her parents are certainly one of those people who are not, I mean, they're concerned about money, of course, but they're not too concerned to a point where, oh, you want to marry my daughter? 20K, baru boleh. Sebab apa? Ui, dia pangkat degree kot. They didn't have any of that. Thank God, they didn't have any of that. So when I married his daughter, I didn't have a car. I didn't have a house. A lot of the money that I had went to her as mahar, and then the leftovers are for us to start our life together. The first 8 months I live with her parents, but we planned this beforehand, because she had a placement for her teaching job that wasn't confirmed yet, so we didn't know where we want to live. It could be in Perlis, it could be somewhere else. So we decided to stay at her mom's house first, and that really helped in terms of the finances. But we knew that it was supposed to be temporary. We want our own home, our own place. We want to feel the responsibility of taking care of our own home. We want our own space even. So 8 months, that's it. And then we moved out. We rented this very cheap, like old terrace house, like squeezed in between, very small. It was like 500 ringgit per month or something like that. And that, even that pun dah, dah take away like one third of the monthly income that I made at the time. So yeah, we started off really, really modestly with whatever that we have. And I'm telling you this just to let you know that getting married at whatever age, 23 or otherwise, right, is not about the money, or it's not about the age. It's more about the timing and the readiness. And, you know, Allah's plan. Definitely, Allah's plan. Some people say 23 is quite young. Some people say, 23, aku baru nak kenal dunia. But you have to understand, I started when I was 18. So if you look at it as the analogy of planting a tree, I planted that seed earlier than most people. You know, I planted that seed at 18 and I nurtured that seed. So the probability of me having a tree before everybody else is much higher. And the probability of me reaping the fruits of my labor is also a bit higher than some people. So we weren't married early. We were married ready. That's the difference. So it's not about age, it's not about money, it's about being ready for the responsibility that lies ahead. Because if you were to make the argument it's about money, then effectively, poor people can't get married. But poor people do get married, and they get married happily. Rich people do get married, and some of them are miserable. So it's not about money. It must be something else. It must be something related to things that you cannot measure easily with money. Things like principles, things like attitude, behavior, skills, priorities, right? Those things should be made ultimately lah. Those things should be made higher up on the list of things we should be thinking about. And that's it. That's my story. That's how I got married to my wife. So at age 23. I didn't feel like we got married young. I felt like, you know, it's time. Because I started when I was 18. So it was 5 years in the making. So I felt like it was time. So if you want to start now, maybe in the next 5 years you will get married, no matter how old you are at the time. I don't know. Allahu alam. That's my story. So I'm not saying that my story will become your story, but that's it. That's it. So right now, what I'm doing with the opportunity that Allah has given me is to reflect on all the experiences that I just told you and try to simplify it in a way that people can implement in their own journey. So even though you cannot copy paste what I did, but you can certainly get benefit from the principles that I use, from the concepts that I understand. Because concepts and principles are evergreen, but the execution of it is specific to each individual. So with what I do in my job right now, with the free downloads and the videos and the live sessions and the online classes, the books that I write, is to simplify these things for people. And I hope I'm doing that. I hope I'm doing that. So if you have any things you want to ask about this particular topic, feel free to email me. You can go to my website, aymanazlan.com, or you can put it in the comment section down below. From time to time, I'll look at them. From time to time, I might answer them. And you can definitely DM me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or wherever lah you might find me online. Okay? So before I end, I'm looking here and I see some comments coming in and I want to address some of them. Natasha Bella, hello! My partner tengah intern and will kerja bulan Ogos. But dah start doing part-time job last year. Now adalah sedikit saving for kahwin. Plan kahwin awal next year. How can I convince my parents? Okay, so let's understand a bit of timeline. So now it's May. So your partner will start working in August. So 3 months from now. But he already has part-time job. So he's, you know, getting income already. Good, 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 good. Okay, so you can see the effort there. Great. Plan kahwin awal next year, which means, let's say, January 2024. So you plan on getting married 7 months from now. Okay, so in 7 months, I don't know. First, I have to understand where you are, like, right now. So are you in the process of just starting the ta'aruf? Or have you done all your homework in regarding to the discussions that you need to have before getting married? All the, like, what I provide for people is the jodoh checklist. You can go to my website, aymanazlan.com, and download jodoh checklist, which is in Malay, or soulmate checklist, which is in English, if you don't understand Malay. And you can use that. There's 5 points you need to cover to understand whether this person is right for you or not. We're not looking for the perfect person. We're looking for the right person for you. Different do. So one, the first thing is about minimum criteria. So you have to set a basic standard for the person you want to marry to. So this basic standard ni, like how it sounds like, basic standard, meaning this is the bare minimum that you have to pass in order for me to consider you. Now, this is not like a arrogant statement by saying that, oh, kalau you tak boleh pass minimum ni kan, you tak layak. No, no, it's not about that. It came from this hadith from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which I learned in one of the marriage classes that I took back in university. It's by Ibn Majah. It's recorded by Ibn Majah. And it says, choose a partner for your children. And the hadith goes further. But this part I want to focus on. Choose your partner for your children. And when I learned that in the beginning, I thought to myself, huh? I thought I was choosing my partner for me. I'm getting married, kan? And anak tu jauh lagi. But really, the wisdom behind that hadith is that it wants us to think beyond ourselves. That when you are choosing a partner, you're not just choosing a husband. You're also choosing a future father. So you also already have to think, is this person father material in terms of his principles, behavior, mindset, you know, even the language that he uses, is this something that you want your children to experience, right? So when I was looking for a wife, in my mind, I was scanning for, one of the things I was scanning for was motherly qualities. So I was looking for somebody who's gentle, who's patient, who's responsible, who has all these motherly qualities that I know mothers have or should have. So once that's done, you go to number two pula. That's number one, right? Minimum criteria. Set your minimum criteria based on the principle and the goal, ultimate goal that you set for your marriage nanti. And then you go to number two in the checklist is about, are you attracted to this person? You'll be surprised though. Cases that I have seen where people are in ta'aruf, some already in engagement, and few like inches away from getting married. But then when I ask this simple question, are you attracted to that person? This person said, no. You'll be surprised. Like, esok nak kahwin ni. Tapi tak attracted pun dengan the person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. This is not the sunnah. The sunnah is to marry someone you attracted to. Right? The Prophet advised the sahaba to go see the person you want to get married to. Right? You want to have that attraction. Janganlah hari kahwin tu barulah surprise. No. There's no surprise, surprise. You really have to be clear about the choice you're making. Part of it is to understand you're marrying somebody you're attracted to. Now, attraction, we can talk further about, you know, is it superficial attraction or deep attraction? Is it talking about, you know, the person is like beautiful outside, therefore you're attracted? Well, the way I explain attraction is your attraction is determined by your principles. Is the set of priorities, right? So obviously the eyes likes what the eyes see, right? So the physical thing is probably going to be there. Not probably going to be there. It will be there because we're human beings. We will be attracted to beautiful things in our eyes. But it must go beyond that. So when I was searching for a wife, I was also searching for, you know, what do you live for? What's your principle? What do you understand about this fundamental thing? Not just, oh, you have a pretty face. Let's get married. Right? So not just that. So you're attracted to a person based on principle. So I'm attracted to my wife, not just by the way she looks, but also by her personality, by her demeanor, by the principles that she holds, by the attitude that she has, her mindset, her intellect, all those things that you cannot see from the outside. Those are all attractive qualities of my wife that I really, really love. Right? For me lah. So this is something individual. But you have to ask yourself, are you attracted to this person? Number three is about Sir Khufu. And you can check it out in my book, Sir Khufu. Check it out, okay? Google it or you go to my website, imazlan.com. There's a link there for you to buy the book. And by the way, this book is nominated. Okay, I have to be careful. Nominated for Anugerah Pilihan Pembaca, Berita Harian dan juga Popular. Alhamdulillah. Thank you for the nomination. Really, really appreciate it. So Sir Khufu is about how to know if this person is compatible with you. And the way I explain this simply is to understand how you are with your best friend. So you and your best friend, why do you click? Right? Is it because you have the same status, like you're rich and this person is rich too? No. Is it because that you have the same level of degree? Dear PhD, you PhD? No. Is it because you're from the same neighborhood? Dear Kelantan, you Kelantan? No. Like me and my best friend, there are so many things that were different. Socioeconomically different, like background different, like dia orang Selangor, saya orang Kelantan, different. But we click. Why? So this is how we have to understand Sir Khufu. It's not this superficial thing. It's not like you kena ada degree, I kena ada degree. You kena gaji banyak ni, I kena gaji banyak ni. Barulah Sir Khufu. It's more about the deep interaction you have. So therefore, you cannot determine Sir Khufu by the resume. You have to determine Sir Khufu by the interaction. When I interacted with my best friend, there's chemistry there. Like we can get along, we can harmonize. Even when we have differences of opinion, we don't like bicker and cause World War III. We can discuss, we can get along with each other really, really well. Like I get him, he gets me. So that's the analogy of Sir Khufu. And with the person you want to get married, you want to understand that similar concept dia sama. Meaning you dengan dia ngam lah. You and this person can harmonize the relationship. You can get along with each other. Even if you have PhD and PhD, both of you, it's just not a guarantee that you're compatible. It could be that you are so different, if regardless of the PhD, you're so different in a way that you will fight with each other every single day at any chance you have. That's not Sir Khufu. That's not compatible. Even though, level-wise, you're the same. So I want people to understand compatibility deeper than just on the resume part. Sure, the resume things, it's helpful to understand certain things about the person, but it's not everything that you take from the person. The same way that if you want to apply for a job, and if you are a person hiring for jobs, you look at the resume, sure, but you don't decide everything from the resume. You will still need to meet the person face-to-face, kan? You will still need to undergo the interview process. Why? You have the resume. Kenapa nak interview? Because the resume alone is not enough for you to determine whether this person is the best fit for the company or not. The same idea, same concept with Sir Khufu. That's number three in the checklist. Number four is about, can you accept his shortcomings? Obviously, even though he or she fulfilled your minimum criteria, doesn't mean that you like everything about this person. There might be some things that you find a bit annoying, some things you find macam tak apa, okay, but you can still accept it with open arms and a calm heart lah, basically. You don't feel terganggu, you don't feel disturbed by the idea of living your life with this person. Like, for example, and I share with this before, my wife likes petai, I don't. But this is not something that disturbed me so much in a way that I don't want to marry her. No, this is something that I readily accept. Sure, you like petai. Go ahead, makan petai tu. I even like whenever like her mother does her favorite sambal petai, I encourage her, go makan. Makan banyak-banyak. Tak apa. Even though I wouldn't eat it, I would not like the smell of it. But it doesn't deter me. Right? So I accept it. I accept the shortcomings. I accept all the things that are probably not ideal, because when we can't marry the ideal person. We can't, because she doesn't exist. So that's number four. And lastly, number five is about istikhara. Meaning, when you do istikhara, it's about having the conviction in your decision-making to understand that, is this something that Allah is making it easy for me, or is this something that Allah is pushing me away from? Because we're asking for what's good in istikhara. And sometimes the thing that we're asking for is not good. Therefore, Allah put it further away from us to protect us. That's the gist of istikhara. So if you can settle these five things, right? Settle these five things first. then you know that you're somewhat on the right track. Now, about the parents pula, how do I convince my parents? The idea about convincing parents is two things. Number one, how good you are with your communication skill. Number one, okay? Can you negotiate? Can you handle difficult conversations? Can you handle conflicts, right? So your communication skill, number one. Number two, how well you know your parents. Because if you like don't quite, you know, close with your parents, it's going to be quite difficult for you to have this conversation. My parents and I, alhamdulillah, were very close. Especially me and my mother were very close. So when I wanted to get married, again, 18 years old, I started with joking around with my mother. Now, this is not like something that you should do with your mother. I'm telling you what I did with my mother. I started by joking around. You know, at this time, I think my eldest brother just got married and, you know, we're in this mode of, you know, oh, abang baru kahwin, nah. So I jokingly said to my mother, kan bagus kalau kita boleh tambah lagi cucu. So like indicating that, you know, mungkin turn saya pula kot. So she, you know, laugh and, you know, we have a great like mother and son laugh together. But the intention with the joking around is to let her know that, hey, this son of yours is thinking about it. Right? And you have to give some time for your parents to digest these things, because this is something that I didn't realize when I was single. It's tough for parents to let go of their kids. I didn't know when I was single though. It's tough for parents to let go of their kids. So when I got married, my parents cried. Both of them cried. Even my father. You know, and you might be thinking, like, it's a happy occasion. Why the tears? Because they understood that from this point forward, you're not going to be around as much. They can't see you as often as they did before. The next day they wake up, you're not in the room anymore. I mean, just think about that. Think about that. They walk past your room and you're not there. Right? So the thing that they're used to now becomes history. So just digest that for a moment. So when you want to tell your parents these things, give them time for them to prepare themselves for the moment where they have to let you go. And this goes for men and women. And mind you, I came from a family of all men. Like 6 of us, adik beradik, all men. Right? And I can tell you my parents memang cry lah, like when each of us got married. Because they understood. Because back in the day when all 6 of us were in the house, it was havoc lah, but it was fun, it was happy, it was chaotic, it was amazing, terrible at the same time, you know, having these 6 boys in the house. But it was family, it was this thing that we knew as what we did as a family. And you can imagine when one and after another got married, they start to lose bit by bit of that family image. Right, the family that they knew, and they had to learn to adapt to this new idea of family. So this new idea of family is that I have sons over there, they have their own family to take care of. They may not be able to visit me as much, and it's tough for them to accept that, especially when they really, really, really love you. So with parents, that's basically my guide lah. Give them time. So if you want to get married too, you bagi tahu dia orang awal-awal that you have this intention so that they get ready macam, okay, anak aku dah mula fikir dah benda ni. So I have to like prepare myself, right? This moment will happen. And invite them into the process juga. Right? Janganlah hujung-hujung nak kahwin tu barulah bagi tahu, mak, saya nak kahwin. Bila? Minggu depan. Allah. It's like a shock for them, right? Kesian kat dia orang. So I think that'll be what I would deliver to you lah. So how close you are with your parents and your communication skill too. Najmi tanya, is it okay if I reject a candidate? Oh, ni lelaki, sorry. Ingat perempuan. Is it okay if I reject a candidate because she is older and it concerns me that it will be hard for us to have kids when we finally settle down. Is it inconsiderate of me, or is it okay because it's my preference? Okay, here's the thing we have to understand about preference, though. Not all preferences are reasonable. So you have to do your best judgment, though. Is this a reasonable preference, right? Because your concern is that her age may be the factor that caused her to not bear a child. What's your data? What's the medical opinion on this? Have you consulted a doctor, or is this something you just feel, okay? Because you want to make an informed decision, right? So you need certain ilmu about this particular thing for you to make the right decision. Now, I can tell you, for a woman age 35 and older, any pregnancy by that point is considered high-risk pregnancy. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean she cannot have a child. It means the pregnancy is high risk. Itu je. Maksud dia, during the pregnancy itu, you have to be extra careful. You have to be extra vigilant. You have to probably visit the doctor more often, right? As opposed to a low risk pregnancy. Pregnancy by any stretch of the imagination is all risky, right? Because the woman is putting her body into so much. So you have to understand that complications can happen to any woman at any age, right? You hear about, and I'm not trying to scare you, I'm just trying to put some perspective into your understanding. Because a woman, even a young woman, could have complications in her pregnancy, could deter her from having a child. I know couples who, you know, got married young, but they couldn't have a child for 10 years even. And again, I'm not trying to scare you. This is to put perspective into your understanding. It's not black and white. It's not like, you umur berapa? 36? Tak boleh ya? No, it's not black and white. It's not black and white. If she fulfills your fundamental criteria, jodoh checklist to fulfill the, you attracted to her, she has good qualities, like she is, Like a good candidate lah. And the only reason that you want to reject her is because of her age, that's unreasonable. Faham tak? If let's say, jodoh checklist tu dia dah okay dah. But this one thing that you macam risau, oh nanti kan dia tak boleh nak. This is like kerisauan yang tidak berpatutan. Like, does that mean that you shouldn't worry at all? No, but you shouldn't take it too far to a point where you terus kata macam, tak payah kahwin lah. Even though, you know, you're attracted to her. She's a good woman. She has good qualities. She is something, she has all the things that you're looking for in a partner. And the only thing that you have against her is her age. In that particular situation, it's unreasonable lah. Okay? You ask me, I give you my answer. All right? Oh, ini daripada Natasha tadi. We also plan to kumpul duit not for the wedding, but also focus on life after kahwin. My family sakit okay dengan pilihan I, but now the only thing is mereka risau if dia dah ready nak tanggung or not. Nak tanggung I or not. So, tanggung has to be defined properly. What do you mean? Because if you think about it, money is quite subjective in terms of mampu tak mampu nak tanggung anak orang. Subjective to what? Good question. Subjective to expectations, what you're willing to accept and not accept, and lifestyle choice. If you can adjust your expectation and your lifestyle choice to match his financial capability, then there's no problem. Like I told you, right? When I got married, I didn't have a car, I didn't have a house, I didn't have like a stable job, but I got married anyway. But it doesn't mean that I have zero. It doesn't mean that I duduk rumah goyang kaki. I worked my butt off because I was serious in making sure that my wife has a roof on top of her head. She's fed. She's happy. She's basically supported by me lah. And in that effort too, yeah, I got help. I got help from her parents. I got help from my parents. Not financial help lah. Basically, they help in terms of, you know, the first 8 months we live with the parents kan. So that's financially macam buffer a bit lah our difficulty tu. But we didn't take that macam satu privilege tau. Right? It was an honor. We thank them. We're eternally grateful. What we don't feel like macam we deserve it ataupun it's like we feel entitled to it. So that's why 8 months sahaja, once my wife dah tahu dah placement dia kat mana, we decided we move out. We move out. And some were against that decision. Kenapa nak move out? Duduk kat rumah dengan mak kan okay. Tak payah bayar sewa. And I get it. I understand it. But I want to feel all the challenges of marriage. She, my wife, also wants to experience all the challenges of marriage with me. Right? That was the deal. We had the same expectation. We understood the lifestyle that we choose. So we're fine. We're okay. Even with the little money that we have, we support each other. We build our wealth over time. And, you know, 10 years in, we're fine, alhamdulillah. We have a house, we have a car, and we have 2 kids. You know, they're all fed. Nobody makan pasir. So it really depends on expectation and lifestyle choice. If you can manage that and adjust it to a way that you can happily accept it, he can happily accept it, then the idea of nak menanggung anak orang ini can be settled that way. It's not black and white lah, basically. Irfan tanya, tentang berkenan. Macam mana bila lepas tanya perempuan tu, lepas istikharah, katanya saya terima je siapa-siapa pun. Maksudnya dia berkenan ke tak? It's hard for me to say because she's not here. So if you want to know, you have to ask her. Kena dah tanya dia. Sebab ni perasaan dia. So saya ataupun siapa-siapa tak boleh nak jawab on her behalf, you know. So you have to ask her. And for her pula, if she's listening lah, or somebody who can relate, listen, you have to be honest tau. Be honest. Janganlah you nak kata no, tapi you kata yes. Jangan. Kalau you nak kata no, kata no. Janganlah fikir, nanti kan malulah nak menjaga air muka. No. If you want to say no, say no. Okay? Kalau susah nak say no, signal no. Mm-mm. Whatever it is, so that the message is clear, you nak ke tak nak. Because you don't want this thing to be, you know, superficial. And then once you get married, then it's revealed yang sebenarnya you tak nak. Dia lagi susah waktu tu. You're talking about menjaga air muka, right? But you backfire nanti. Because nanti bila dah jadi, dah kahwin and everything, tambah lagi dah dapat anak dah, barulah reveal that you sebenarnya tak nak pun berkahwin dengan dia. That's more harmful than if you say no right now. Okay? So ladies, even men, be clear. Communication clear. Nak cakap nak. Tak nak cakap tak nak. Okay? Clear. Be clear. Mar said, not gonna be around that much anymore. Facts! As anak lelaki, saya terfikir juga pasal benda ni and memang real. Ibu ayah kita actually hilang anaknya. Kind of. Yup. Betul. Yeah. Siapa-siapa yang sudah berkahwin, you may experience this. Waktu nak berkahwin tu, sememangnya ia satu kehilangan bagi mak ayah. Now, don't get me wrong, my parents are happy. You know, I got married, happy, ada grandchildren and everything. But you cannot deny that this is a form of loss for them, you know, a form of loss for them. Just think about it. I got married when I was 23. So 23 years, I was their baby lah, basically, right? I was with them. They see me a lot, right? Nak pergi mana-mana, muka saya ada. Now, you know, they wake up, the house is empty, quiet, you know, tak ada dah anak gaduh-gaduh, you know, tak ada dah anak gaduh nak main PlayStation, tak ada dah anak pergi sepak-sepak, that was us lah, you know, tak ada dah anak yang bangun subuh lambat, tak ada, kena marah-marah, tak ada. So it was different. So they do experience that sense of loss. And we have to be empathetic lah towards that. And when we want to approach our parents, approach with that empathy. It really, really help. And inshallah will help also lembutkan hati mereka, using the term that we like to use, will soften their heart to the idea that, you know, you have to let your child go. Abdul Muhaimin. One more thing. I believe it is not the woman's job to convince the parent. Just let the man meet up your parent and let him do the talking. In a way, I do agree with you. In a way, I do agree with you. Yep, definitely, definitely, definitely. But I also don't agree with you. I agree that kat mana pun lelaki tu memang kena jumpa your parents. From there, your parents akan nampak lah what kind of man who will take care of their daughter. Right? Again, no need to pretend to be somebody you're not. Just present who you are as a person genuinely, because how long are you going to pretend, right? So might as well just be honest from the get-go. But the part that I don't agree with you is that the woman, janganlah goyang kaki pula. Right? Because they are your parents. You know them better. So you know how to tackle them. You know how to talk to them. You know them better than this guy. This guy baru masuk je. You dah tahu, dah kenal lah mak ayah you. So you should, it's like a team effort lah. So when we were discussing about like a wedding, for example, kan, my wife and I, wedding from my part, there's certain expectation. Wedding from her part, there's certain expectation. So if you're not from Malaysia, in Malaysia, we do two receptions, basically, for one for the lady, one for the man. So for my kenduri, for my walimah, for my wedding, on my side, the expectation is that we do it modestly. So the video that you watch on my YouTube channel about my wedding, though, that was taken shot by my dear friend Arwah Omar Mita in my side of the wedding, not her side, my side. So when you see macam, oh, nampak simplenya, modestnya, well, that's the expectation from my family. But expectation from her family is a bit different. They want, because the context is her parents are like very social and they know more people. So they want to invite more people. So it's a big wedding lah, a much bigger wedding. So the expectation is such different lah, kan? So in that particular case, we had these two different expectations that we need to harmonize. And that requires team effort between me and my wife to make sure that we communicated with each of our parents properly, right? So it's not just semua benda di atas bahu lelaki atau semua benda atas bahu wanita. It has to be a team effort. And plus, this is a good like training phase for you to face your marital life, because you're going to be a team with your lawfully wedded husband and wife, kan? So might as well use this opportunity to train that muscle lah. Shukri. My partner is older than me, but she feels insecure about her age. How can I comfort her? If by partner you mean wife, then you can comfort her by, you know, sitting down with her. You probably speak to her in a love language that she finds closest to her, and try to understand where that insecurity comes from. Right? Don't immediately go on solving mode. You have to first understand the problem. You can't just solve a problem you don't understand. So understand, where is this coming from? You understand her story, understand her grievances, maybe understand her background a bit more, understand what narrative that she is replaying in her mind about her age. Right? Dia takutkan apa? Dia malukan apa? Dia rasa anxious sebab apa? Apa yang dia fikir-fikirkan tu? And when you hear this coming from her, don't deny it. Don't push it aside. Janganlah kata macam, alah, macam tu je ke? Tak apalah. Biasalah tu. No, don't say anything like that. You have to allow for her to express what she feels honestly from her perspective. Even though some of those things that she tell you may not make sense to you, that's okay. This is her story, not your story, okay? Your duty is to listen and listen openly without judgment. Doesn't mean that everything she says is correct. No, but it does mean that you allow for whatever that she wants to say to be said. Because it needs to come out. Otherwise, dia tersimpan kat dalam. It's like a thorn in your foot. If you just leave the thorn there, it's going to be infected and you're going to hurt even more. Similarly with emotions, you can't just keep it there. It has to come out. So you have to facilitate for that. So when that happens, you may understand her better, may understand where she's coming from, and hopefully you get to a point where you have this realization, this light bulb moment that, okay, now I understand why you are like this, right? Because that understanding really helps in the solution part later on. And now we go to solution part. Once you understood and understood correctly, then we go to the solution part. And the solution has to be done together. She has to be part of the solution as well. Bukannya you bagi tahu apa dia kena buat. You should do this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Doesn't help. It has to be a together thing, right? So that is all from me. Thank you very much for joining in. I hope it helps. And I will do more of this stuff because I like doing this if I have the time. And I have something else to do after this. So that's all for now. I'll see you when I see you. Assalamualaikum. Goodbye bye. And I will be turning this off now. Oh, before I turn it off, if you like what I do, you can support me by joining my membership down below. Click join. Or if you don't want to pay a monthly subscription by joining my membership, you can also do a one-off contribution by clicking on the thanks button. Really, really helps by making sure that I can do this for a longer period of time. Or you can just go to my website, mazlan.com, and download the free stuff. It's okay. It's free. Go get it. It's beneficial for you, I hope. And if you want to support me even more, you can also buy my books. If you want to support me even more, keep watching my stuff, keep sharing it and liking it and subscribing. Really, really helps. Anything free or paid, I appreciate all this just the same. Thank you very much. Assalamualaikum. Bye.